This
is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Get in, loser. We're going shopping.
Okay, but I'm not allowed back in Hot Topic because last time I spilled my Orange Julius on their stack of Deftones t-shirts.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Eyre.
And I'm your host, Nicole Eniade.
And today we are going to be ranking the top nu metal bands from the early 2000s. Nicole, number one draft pick, who you got?
I never listened to nu metal that much, but I know Korn was like the big one.
Korn maybe the kind only, of invented the genre.
I just know because one time they performed
Twisted Transistor
on SNL, and he had a really cool microphone, and I remember that specifically.
Okay, so today we're talking about what's the best mall food, but I think...
Yeah, I love the mall.
Okay, do you love the mall now, or did you love the mall when you were 13, and now when you go back, it reminds you of when you were young?
It was both. So I loved, like, the malls that were, like, untouched. You know what I mean? The malls that were...
Like the empty, creepy malls?
No. The mall. No, that's how they feel now.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Like, the old malls where there was always an Express, always a Hot Topic, there was a Sbarro.
Spencer's Gifts.
I never had a Spencer's.
You never had a Spencer's?
My mall never had a Spencer's. It always had a Hot Topic, and my mom literally hated when I walked into Hot Topic.
Dude, all moms hated Hot Topic. The reason Hot Topic exists is for moms to hate it.
My mom literally thought I was gonna like believe in the devil pretty much when I walked into Hot Topic because I thought I was an emo kid.
Yeah,
but
that
I
makes sense.
Was I an emo kid?
And you were probably wearing like shirts. What was the band that their symbol was like an upside down pentagram?
Him,
but there was a heart. The heartogram.
Yeah, His Eternal Majesty, Vili Flau. Don't get me. Not Vili Flau. What's his name? Vili something.
I don't know.
Vili Flau was Mary Kay Letourneau's husband.
Oh God, you're right.
Oh no, his name was Vili though. The lead singer of that band. And I loved His Eternal Majesty.
When I think of malls, I get nostalgic for the same time period that you're talking about when the late night shows in SNL had nu metal bands on to perform. Shout out to Kitty, who has a new single out. This isn't an ad. I'm just a big fan of them. Maggie, new Kitty single just dropped.
Woo!
I know she's a fan now. They performed on Conan back. It was cool to see metal, you know, on mainstream TV. Yeah. And it was cool to walk into a mall and actually be excited and not just be like, ugh, this place is absolutely dying.
Okay.
So I think we can talk about the best mall food from the peak of malls, which for us was probably 15, 20 years ago.
I love mall food.
And then we can talk about the best mall food now.
Okay.
How is your relationship to malls different now than it used to be? Like, what do you go for the mall? What do you go to the mall for now?
Why am I going to the mall?
Yes.
To do returns at Zara.
Wait, to do returns of clothing that you bought online?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Honestly, I'm not the biggest, but let me tell you, I'm not the biggest online shopper, but I do buy some things online and they never fit my proportions properly. So I always have to return it. But yeah, that's why I go to the mall or to entertain my niece and nephew.
That's a good point. What did you used to go to the mall for? When you're like 13-year-old emo Nicole, hair just singed and burnt down with the straightener.
It still does. It's still burnt.
Taking the top down MySpace photo.
Oh my gosh. I had to hide my top 8 drama. Why did I used to go to the mall? Because my mom would drag me to the mall to go to Macy's all the time. My mom lived in Macy's and Bloomingdale's.
Oh my God, I love that. Did you go
with
your...
My mom had the credit card.
Did you go with your friends though? Was it like, oh, we're just going to the mall to hang out?
There was one mall. It's called the Century City Mall. And that's where everyone from all the schools would go and like hang out.
Is that the Century City Westfield?
Yeah.
That's the mall that Paris Hilton used to like escape her home to go hang out
in. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like, me and that's Paris Hilton are the same in that
retrospect. Kinda. That's like yeah. peak mall culture.
Yeah, it was great because it was an open mall and like it was and like there was so much to do and there was an Apple store and it was fun and like we would go to the food court and we would always, always, always get Sbarro.
Sbarro
was the mall food of the
meal. And you were
excited
about it.
Yeah, it was great. Are you kidding me? The stromboli, the baked ziti, dude. Oh my gosh. Also, reminder, like I grew up in a Persian Jewish community. We wouldn't like go and eat Panda Express because you couldn't eat the chicken because it's, mm-hmm. you know, kosher stuff. And like, you know, people would spread rumors and stuff and say, oh, they cooked their blank with lard. Oh, they cooked their blank with chicken. So we were like, ew, I'm not going there. And we would just go to Sbarro because it was safe.
That's so funny. When's the last time you've been to a Sbarro? Like, properly been to a Sbarro. Not we ordered it for the show, but, like, you deliberately went there to get some stromboli and baked ziti.
Closing my eyes because I can't remember. I think I was at the old West Side Pavilion with my mom before they sold it to Apple?
Google?
I think they sold it to Google, Maggie.
Oh, is it a campus now?
Yeah, and now they sold it to UCLA.
Ah!
So it used to be the best mall because they had the best shopping there. So my mom would always go there. Me and my mom would always go there together because my mom didn't work. She just like, you know, she just...
yeah, she was
like
a mall rat.
My mom and I were mall rats, yeah. And we would go shopping there and then we would stand in line at the Sbarro. And I remember we would sit next to the carousel up in like the corner. Mm. So I could ride the carousel. And eat pizza and ride the carousel and eat pizza and ride the carousel and eat pizza. So that's my last memory when I was like 10, 11.
No way. You haven't had it since. How do you think it would hold up?
Oh my gosh.
Because I've eaten Sbarro in the last 5 years.
Are you Michael Scott?
No. And I've never liked Sbarro. Listen, they do perfectly fine work. Mm-hmm. People seem to enjoy their pizza. I will say their stromboli is probably the best thing they have at a Sbarro.
Or the spinach. What was that white spinach pie that they had?
There's a white spinach pizza, yeah.
That was also really good.
The pasta, I get roughly nothing good in my life from, like, mediocre red sauce pasta.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I'll go to a Little Tony's-type restaurant, sure. which is a local spot in the valley. The wettest spaghetti in all the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't get anything out of taking spaghetti out of a vat of water and putting some red sauce on it. I'd rather have, like, greasy chow mein from either Panda Express mm-hmm. or whatever, like, local steam table
sure.
Chinese. That's what I want for cheap noodles.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had Sbarro at, I think it was the Cabo San Lucas Airport, maybe?
Oh, I know.
I think this is a Sbarro. It's like a giant food court.
Oh, my
court.
God. I love that food court. They have the best Panda Express there.
What do you mean they have the best Panda Express
what
in the Cabo
mean?
Airport?
It's
what makes it better than all the other Panda Expresses?
It's just my favorite one. Because let me tell you, when it comes to airplane food, like going like...
Food and mall food are very similar.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you 100% because they have a lot of weird local spots that aren't really like...
Oh, in airports?
I don't like. They also do that at the mall, but there's something about airport food, the quality is just so diminished.
Mm-hmm.
Mall food doesn't necessarily have that low of quality. But this is in the airplane food episode, so we're not going to talk
about it. Mall food has gone through a bit of a renaissance. Somebody wrote a really interesting article. So when we think of mall food, I think of stuff like Panda Express and Sbarro, mm-hmm. and there's like a Charlie's Cheesesteaks.
Oh my gosh, Charlie's Cheesesteaks.
They are, again, I don't want to like poo-poo anyone's food choice. It sucks. Like Charlie's Cheesesteaks is bad.
Well, it's
They
good.
Make the worst cheesesteak I've ever had.
It's really? That's a little, is it because there's lettuce in it?
No, I mean, that's the one that's called a cheesesteak hoagie, and it's like a thing. It's the thing that I enjoy, but it's just their meat is like gray and lifeless and the cheese never quite steams into it. The bread is very plastic. There's a great local mini, like not even that mini of a chain. It's a pretty big chain called Philly's Best that they make.
Are they in malls?
No, but they should be because they...
Instead of Charlie's?
They're all around Southern California and like they do pretty good work, especially for a chain. So it's not like I just don't like chain cheesesteak places. But man, somehow Charlie's is just in there and I find it pretty terrible.
I don't think it's that horrible.
But you have those old school spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're seeing all these kind of fancy malls because malls are dying. And so they need like Westfield Century City.
Caruso affiliated malls?
Caruso affiliated
malls.
Why
do they have a Sprinkles in there? I don't want a Sprinkles. I want a Mrs. Fields.
But that's But Sprinkles is the future, right? Like this is where we're going because now malls are dying. So they need a reason for people to come in. And so they're trying to, they have a lot more designer type stores that get a lot more tourists in there.
Yeah.
And then they have these new restaurants like Shake Shack to me. is the new paradigm of malls.
Which sucks because it's good, yeah, but I want, like, there's something about crappy mall food that I really like.
I agree, but they can't survive on it. And somebody wrote this really great article for Eater. I wish I could remember who it was, but they were talking about how the way that we view Shake Shack now is the way that our parents viewed Sbarro 30 years ago.
Are you sure?
We're like, yeah, back then, they didn't think Sbarro was crappy back then, right? They were like, cool, like, you can get a stromboli, new thing, you know, but like a white pizza with spinach on it. It was something probably a little bit elevated, and that was really cool, and that was probably a draw. Yeah. Dippin' Dots, right? The way that we view sprinkles are the way that they viewed Dippin' Dots. Could you imagine how exciting it would have been to dip a dot for the first time?
Wow.
The ice cream of the future, Nicole, before we defunded NASA.
I just can't. There's something so, like, deeply nostalgic. And whenever I see, like, a Mrs. Fields or Wetzel's Pretzels or an Auntie Anne's.
Auntie Anne's. Wait, are you an Auntie Anne's or a Wetzel's gal?
I'll eat whatever pretzel's in front of me. Sure. I'm not going to lie.
I'm pretty loyal to Auntie Anne's.
You
though.
Loyal?
Not loyal. I'll eat Wetzel's, but.
I mean, the Wetzel dog, it's pretty damn good.
The Wetzel dog's pretty good. Auntie Anne's, though, if I'm going pretzels, I probably want to go sweet for
cinnamon
some reason.
Cinnamon sugar?
Yeah. They have, like, an almond delight crunch one, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds really good. But there's something about these. It's like the nostalgic signage and, like, the Cinnabon of it all. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, when you smell a Cinnabon in a mall, you know that you're going to get a 50% off clearance at Cotton On. You know what I'm talking about?
No, but I do know about cinnamon rolls. I don't know what Cotton On is.
You've never been to Cotton On?
No, I see the signs, but I don't look inside.
They're always on clearance.
What is it? Do they sell clothes?
Yeah, it's so fast fashion. It's ridiculous.
Most of the stores and malls aren't for me, and that's okay.
Why do you mean?
I don't know. What are they? So many of them, I just don't know what they do. I don't even know if
they're
men's clothes.
You're not a fan of Zales?
No, I did go to a jewelry store in the mall once to maybe look at an engagement ring, but then it was way more expensive and worse quality than the other stuff.
Yeah.
But they were like, well, local family owned. And I was like, I don't know. This one has an app and I can just click what diamonds I want. something like that. Van store. I go in the Van store.
Journeys?
What's Journeys? That's another store. What do they sell?
Shoes. You've never been to Journeys before?
They sell men's shoes?
Oh my gosh, Journeys is so your store.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, actually, I walked into a Steve Madden. Do they make men's? No, Aldo.
Aldo makes men's.
Steve Madden doesn't make men's shoes.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, I walked into an Aldo, and I got uncomfortable, and I left. I'm really uncomfortable in malls.
Really?
Yeah.
Have we ever Josh, we've gone shopping together, me, you, and Trevor.
Yeah, I bought jewelry for Julia.
And you bought a suit and a belt, remember? We went to the Nordstrom Rack. You don't remember this?
Nordstrom Rack wasn't in a mall, though.
Oh, what do you consider the Burbank Empire Center?
Oh, this is a great distinction. So when we're talking about best mall food, we're not talking about best strip mall food, because that's very different
because the best strip mall food is always a random Asian restaurant.
Correct. Yeah. It'll just be like a random pho restaurant that also has like a Korean barbecue on it.
Yeah, that's the
what
best
you want. That's what you want in a strip mall.
That's right.
No, but like that's different than actual mall food.
Sure.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Okay, so if we're going to the mall today, say we have...
What are we doing at the mall?
I was going to say we have like a two-hour lunch break.
Are we going to go shopping?
That's a pipe dream. Yeah, but say we did that. Like, okay. What would we do? What would our itinerary be? What stores would we go to? More importantly...
What mall are we going to? Depends. You can't.
Okay, let's start with our local one. Let's start with the Burbank Mall.
I don't like that mall because it has a Burlington Coat Factory and you can never find anything good there.
You don't like the mall because it has a store. You don't have to go into the Burlington Coat Factory.
But
they're not forcing you to go into the Burlington Coat Factory.
But it takes up so much space.
Okay.
You don't get, that could have been like a Macy's or a Bloomingdale's.
Yeah, but you can still like just avoid it. You can still just not go in that
space.
No,
but it's not a mall where it's not a mall where I can thrive.
Okay. Oh, no, I get that. But okay, well, it's just the closest one.
It's not a mall that I can shop in comfortably because it's just not for me.
Well, it's perfect because if we're looking at this podcast as utility for people to make the best, most efficacious food on what to eat in the mall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then let's look at a mall that you maybe don't like going to.
Okay,
so
fine.
We're going to the Burbank Mall.
Okay, we're
going
to go to the Burbank Mall. You're going to walk by the video game store probably and see if they have a new Diablo or a new skin or something for Fortnite. Yeah, I don't know what you kids do.
I literally played one video.
Sorry,
I
David
League
plays Fortnite.
It.
And then we're going to go see the random shoe cobbler that's there. And because I dropped off your shoes 2 weeks
ago. Stop by
the
Army Recruitment Center that's next to the arcade.
Exactly. Go to the arcade. And then we're going to walk past Sears. And then we're going to see if there's a Fashion Nova. We're just going to walk by the Fashion Nova to see what's in vogue, but we were not going to shop there. And then we're going to go to, we're going to walk towards the food court. And then we're going to see some really great options. I am going to go towards my one true love, which is the Mongolian noodle spot.
Yes. I'm so glad you're bringing up Mongolian barbecue at the frickin' mall.
Mongolian noodle barbecue, where you self-serve yourself frozen meat. You pour it in a bowl. You put vegetables on top. So unsanitary. The cross-contamination is abhorrent.
Must be a nightmare.
They give you the bowl, and then they say what kind of sauces you want. They put whatever sauces, and then on this huge, like, what is it? Like, it's not metal. It's like stone, a huge black stone the size of this table.
Yeah, in the center, hot. In a panopticon.
It is hot, and the man has long chopsticks. He pours all your stuff on. He pours the noodles on. The noodles are beautiful. The color of the noodles is something that you can only dream of. It's like technicolor.
Dark orange.
They're like this technicolor color that's so unnatural that I love so much. They mix it all up. It steams. There's no flames, but there's a lot of steam, and there's drama, and he's using these long chopsticks. And then he takes it all and pours it into a styrofoam, like, clamshell container, wraps it up in a bag.
There's so much heat.
It has a 99% chance of leaking all over the bag, but you don't care. The napkins get wet. They give you chopsticks and a fork because they know that you're a busy woman. You go, you sit down, and you eat it, and it's the best damn food at the mall.
Have you ever eaten Mongolian barbecue outside of a mall? Neither have I. I've never come close.
Why would I? Why? No.
There was one time I almost did where it was a Chinese buffet, all you can eat with a Mongolian barbecue station in Santa Barbara. And I was hungover and I went there and I stood by the Mongolian barbecue station. I filled up my bowl with all the frozen meats and nobody came. And I just left the bowl and walked out. But
I'm
I've
so
never
sorry.
Had it. I know. But that said, like, that is a unique mall experience.
We're so lucky to be alive during a time where this is an experience we can, like, enjoy.
I thank God that we missed the atomic bomb, but we made Mongolian barbecue next to a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly
every single
what you
day.
Mean. I love it. There's the drama of it all. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's, like, it's flash frozen, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's fresh. They're cooking it fresh in front of me.
Sure, and they are.
But they're also cooking all the other food, like, pretty fresh, too. You know what I mean?
I don't know if there's anything fresh about a Wetzel pretzel.
Really?
Actually, no. I mean, they're making the
are
dough fresh.
Are you kidding me?
Right?
That is so...
You can see the raw dough.
I have literally gone for GMM to go get Wetzel's pretzels, and the lady said, you need to wait 35 minutes while my dough proves. And I said, yes, ma'am.
I will say that's a pretty inefficient model for pretzels.
But it's pretty...
It's not a food that you wait
but
for.
It's delicious and hot.
It's not like ordering the chocolate souffle at a fine dining restaurant, you know, like, oh, please allow 30 minutes.
But I must say, my favorite right now in 2024 as a 30-year-old woman, Mongolian barbecue with the noodles, man. Sometimes I don't get the noodles. Sometimes I just do the stir fry situation and it's really good.
Yeah, meat, veg, perfect.
Sauce?
That was my favorite thing at the mall, the Laguna Hills Mall that I grew up going to.
Never been.
You don't need to go. I haven't been back in probably 15 years. Mm-hmm. I also used to go to the Irvine Spectrum, if anybody remembers Irvine Spectrum. Shout out, Maggie.
No, nope.
Real 949ers over here. Okay, let's look really quick. Burbank Mall.
Okay.
Here are the entire food options. So you got the food court stuff. So you got stuff like Charlie's is in there. There's an El Pollo
Loco. He says that with so much disdain. They have a Charlie's.
Dairy Queen, which I would like never really get a full meal from Dairy Queen. I love me a nice blizzard. I love me a dipped cone. But what Dairy Queen did that saved all of mall culture is they bought out Orange Julius.
Yeah. And it's like Dairy Queen is like, it's like the snack station. Like that's what they call it, right?
Yeah.
It's not like an actual DQ.
Well, but, no, I believe this is a grill and chill.
Grill and chill, that's
this
what they
is a grill
call
and
it.
Chill. Yeah. So you they can have get a the chicken tenders with gravy. That's their other unique contribution outside of the sweet world. Mongolian Grill.
Love you. I love that. You. Mongolian Grill, I love you.
There is a Mrs. Fields.
Love
there
Mrs.
is.
Fields.
Here is, okay, so Julia.
Cease, do they have a Cease Candies?
Yes, but that does, I mean, that you go and get a free sample, right?
Oh my God, were you a free sample kid at Cease?
Oh, was I a free sample? Do you know, if you know anything about my childhood, you know I was a free sample kid
and
at Cease.
And then the best is you would like ruminate over it like you were thinking about buying it. Yeah. You're like, let's see, how much is the Bordeaux and how much is the Scotch Mellow?
The Bordeaux.
I was a Scotch Mellow girl.
Oh my God.
It was literal caramel and marshmallows.
For people that don't know Cease Candy, I mean, it started in Southern California, but they mail it all over the world.
Some of the best candy, some of the best chocolate ever.
Just buttercream surrounded by a chocolate shell is one of my favorite things in the world.
The bonbons, all of their Technicolor bonbons.
Oh my God. Oh, these
I are love them all. I love them all.
Okay, so there's a Panda, obviously there's a Mrs. Fields. This is a unique thing that Julia grew up eating.
Our Julia?
Our Julia. Sure. No, she is not owned by anybody. She's her own person. She's simply Julia's Julia. Anyways, there's always some sort of like teriyaki adjacent place. Julia simply calls it mall chicken.
Oh,
sometimes
is it
it's called bourbon
people?
Chicken.
The toothpick people. Okay.
Sometimes it's some sort of grilled chicken with sweet sauce. My dad dated one of the toothpick women.
Aw, cute.
She was very sweet, and she used to bring over just pounds of mall chicken. And they had a couple kinds. They had one called bourbon chicken that was indistinguishable from teriyaki chicken.
Never heard of bourbon chicken
before. It's like not a thing, and I don't know where it came from. It was like, I think called like Fat Tuesdays or something, but it was definitely Japanese owned. And so I think they flipped their teriyaki recipe. I don't know. Bourbon chicken, they had another one called honey mustard chicken that was just sugar and mayonnaise on hot chicken. But the toothpick mall chicken, to me, that's a unique mall experience that I love.
Me too.
Just sugar chicken?
I know, but there was something about it where my mom would just say, let's just get Panda Express because at least we know what we're getting at Panda. Mm, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah, my sister's a huge...
Pretty lateral move, I will say that.
Yeah. My sister's a huge Panda Express. Like, she's the biggest fan. Anytime we go to the mall, she's like, we're getting Panda. I'm like, oh, there's a Rubio's or like, there's like a cheesesteak place. She's like, we're getting Panda. She's like, it's clean and it's consistent, and no matter where you go in the world, Panda's Panda.
She's correct.
Yeah.
Panda Express really does a good job. They held it down. So is the other restaurant that you mentioned, Rubio's.
I love
Formerly
Rubio's.
Formerly Rubio's Fish Tacos, currently Rubio's Coastal Grill.
Rubio's does good work.
Started in San Diego, I believe, from a San Diego State alum whose family's from Baja, and they make great fish tacos for a large chain.
They make great everything. Every time I go to the Citadel outlets, I know an outlet isn't a mall, isn't a strip mall, but... The outlet Rubio's, fire. No matter what, their bowls are great, their salads are great. I feel like I'm doing an ad for Rubio's.
I know.
I just really love Rubio's.
Okay, the last option here at the Burbank Mall, which is a pretty average mall, Panini Kebab Grill. And now this isn't just Panini Kebab Grill because I go to the Sherman Oaks Mall too.
Panini
and I go to Masi's Kebab.
I like Panini more than Masi's.
You like Panini? I think Masi's does a really good Kubi Day. But that is my typical. If I'm going to the mall, especially to buy clothing, right, I don't want to be, like, super bloaty. I don't want to eat, like, 1,500 calories worth of orange chicken chow mein. I do generally elsewhere in life. Mm-hmm. But if I want, like, hey, I just need something to fill me up, I want to be kind of responsible here, I'll get a chicken Kubi Day wrap, you know, eat it, nice grilled meats, vegetables. That, to me, is, like, sustainable mall food.
Do you know what I don't like?
Ma.
I hate it whenever there's fast food restaurants in the mall.
Oh, like just a Carl's Jr.?
Yeah, when I see like a McDonald's. Shake Shack kind of like is the line between fast cash and like fast food. You okay?
Yeah, I had to stretch my back. It felt really nice.
Oh, I thought you...
You hear a crack?
I also saw
that
your
face. That was my cervix.
I saw you... You don't have one. Do you?
Coccyx.
That's here.
Yeah. What's a cervix?
You confused cervix with...
Why does my cervix hurt?
Josh, women have cervixes.
Well, okay, that seems pretty gender essentialist there, but go on.
But the best is you said cervix, but it's
the lower, narrow end of the uterus.
It's because you thought vagina and cock.
What is a womb?
Let's go way back. You know what I hate, Josh?
If we could turn back time to the good old days. What were you saying?
Josh, you know what I hate?
Yeah.
Whenever I'm at the mall and there's like a fast food joint, like if there's a McDonald's in the mall, I'm like, why?
Yeah, get out of here, Ronald.
I don't want it.
It's a beastly anachronism. I don't like it.
What is it?
A beastly anachronism. I think it might be a Shakespearean reference.
Anachronism.
It means it's not of the time and place, right?
Oh. Okay.
Anachronistic, ana meaning like not. Cron mm-hmm. time. It's just like, it's not, it doesn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I would love to see a mom and pop shop.
Yeah, I agree like, with that.
I've heard that.
I got the question. Okay, so.
I got an answer.
I got the question. So I'm looking at the list of all the restaurants in the Burbank Mall. They also got stuff like Across the Border, which is like a chain Mexican restaurant, California Pizza Kitchen. They
CBK?
CBK. They have Ozono Sushi, which is a local valley spot.
Yeah.
So there's like all the. They're full service restaurants, but they're like not quite enough to stand outside of a mall.
Yeah. They
you know what I mean?
Mall. Yeah. You know,
they need to be attached.
I actually used to work at a sushi mall kiosk thing in Torrance
for
about 4 months. And let me tell you, what a wonderful array of people you meet at the mall. It's such a trip. It was so difficult. Just with the demand, like making sushi at the mall, very hard job.
Yeah, I bet.
Tip your sushi chefs at the mall because you never know what kind of battle they're facing. They're making sushi at the mall. It was really crazy.
This flooded a memory back into my cerebellum that I did not expect to have. Mm-hmm. Going to the Laguna Hills Mall, they had an all-you-can-eat sushi buffet called Onami.
Okay.
That, looking back, I feel like was 15,000 square feet. This was just gigantic. And it would cost, like, you would pay $17.99 at lunch.
Wow.
For it. And me and, like, my buddies, when we were 12 years old, we, like, scrape up all the money we save from doing little odd jobs, and we would go to Onami.
Nice.
And we'd eat ourselves silly on just, you know, the most frozen food dyed, the carbon monoxide tainted tuna that they use to make it pinker.
Sure.
And just guzzle that down. Mm. And that was a great time. And also a restaurant that could only exist inside of a mall.
Sure, yeah.
Currently, similar experience, I go to the Kura Revolving Sushi Bar.
In the mall?
In Sherman Oaks Mall. That is our...
It's in the mall?
I live, but don't find out where I live, but it's walking distance. I walk a lot. I can walk far. I go on a lot of hot girl walks now, right? I'm trying to get some low impact cardio. And I'll often just like walk in a large loop that I end up at the Sherman Oaks Mall.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like Julia will meet me there and we'll go to Kura Revolving Sushi Bar.
Is she also doing returns at
Zara? For dinner. She does do a lot of returns, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, not necessarily at Zara. There's a new thing that's happening that I really hate.
What? What is it? Tell me.
Big, full-service, fancy, fine dining restaurants tucked inside of malls that are gross and weird.
Yeah. What was that?
I went to a restaurant. It's called Angler.
Is it closed now?
It's closed now. Mm. It was just in the mall. It reminds me of Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Where you go to Vegas and you're in these giant monolithic casinos and everything's indoors and there's this restaurant that you've heard all these great things about, but it's just inside a casino and you can't see the sun. And that's what this Angler inside of a mall, the chef is like a 3 Michelin starred chef, and the food is very interesting, but it was just gross because you're just in a mall.
Mm.
And I didn't like
And you couldn't like detach yourself from like being like parking at the Beverly Center.
Could not detach myself from it.
Mm. I'm sorry. I don't have opinions because I don't fine dine at the mall.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I'd rather just go to Fatburger.
All right, number one mall food of all time. What's the best food you've ever eaten at a mall? And, like, the most functional. Like, when you think of the quintessence of mall food, what is it?
It's got to be hot dog on a stick.
Hot dog on a stick, baby. You get the pepper jack.
It's so crazy. I love hot dog on a stick. The colors. It's like, what is it called whenever a bird likes shiny things? A magpie?
Is that what magpies do?
Is that what
I don't know enough
do?
About the life of
well,
magpies.
Well, it's what I'm going to do. It's when I see it. It's just like something goes off in my head. I'm like, primary colors. And it's just so great. It's not my – I don't get it all the time. But if I see it, I want it. I get it. And I enjoy it. That's my answer.
I like – what's the Brazilian barbecue restaurant inside the Century City Mall?
Oh, my God.
This is not a universal experience for most people. Listen, I love a lot of mall food out there.
I love Brazilian food.
Any Middle Eastern spot inside the mall is my official answer. Get yourself some grilled meats and vegetables and spicy, delicious, fragrant sauces. That's what I want in the mall. But when I go to the Westfield Century City, got, Lavaca. Oh my God, Lavaca.
Yeah.
Lavaca, you self-serve from a buffet and you pay by weight and then you just point at the meat and ask them what you want and you
can
get just a lovely, healthy, spicy, delicious meal. They have those boquino peppers.
Yeah,
I got a guarana soda.
Let me tell you, I also will say honorable. Okay, so my standings are Mongolian barbecue, hot dog on a stick, Brazilian barbecue. I just love barbecue.
I got like that one Lavaca Brazilian barbecue spot. I got any sort of Middle Eastern kebab spot. Shout out to Masis. And then I got, what's my third?
I don't know. What's your third? Is it Mongolian as well?
No, I feel like Mongolian, I'm happy to leave it as a moment in time for my childhood. Oh, mall chicken. Mall chicken. Anywhere that has bourbon chicken, some sort of teriyaki, universally mall chicken. That's my answer. Oh, and Dippin' Dots, of course. I still think they're the ice cream of the future.
Hey, let's just go to the mall. What are you doing?
All right, Nicole. We've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call...
Opinions are like casserole!
Do you want me to express emotion in my face to show that I realize you're singing?
Let's get to that first opinion then.
Hi, my name is Jude. I'm from Boise.
Boise.
I'm sitting here watching Chopped, and I think Josh would be really good at Chopped. Josh, would you go on Chopped? Josh, you should go on Chopped. And also, you should try Log Cabin Maple Syrup on Rice Krispies.
Yes.
I tried that one night, and oh my God, it's so good.
Sounds like Trevor.
I used to put honey on my Rice Krispies, now I put Log Cabin.
Interesting.
Okay, bye.
Doesn't he have like a similar cadence to Trevor when he says, oh my God? There's a similar way he said, oh my God.
Wait, is that a Boise accent?
I don't know, but it sounded like Trevor when he says, oh my God.
I think you and I have similar things with vocal fry and uptalk, which would belie our Southern California upbringing.
Sure.
So certainly.
Certain
accenture.
Okay.
Belies Boise upbringing. Okay. Chopped. I feel like I would crush on
Chopped.
Okay,
I think you should go on Chopped. I asked you like 4 years ago if you'd ever go on Chopped, and you know what you said to me? You said, tell me one chef you remember that was on Chopped.
Oh, I did say that.
And I said,
no, this is when people argue that, okay, this is, let's get into the weeds a little bit. This is when people are like, hey, I think going on Chopped would be a good career opportunity for you. It would not be. It would not, it'd be cool. I'd like to do it. It'd be a fun thing, but that's what it would actually be, is a fun thing. But I would take like several days out of my life to, they shoot it in New York. I would travel to New York. I would have to go on casting calls with people. And frankly, like we reach a lot of viewers with what we currently do. Mm-hmm. So it'd be almost like the opportunity cost of going on Chopped would mean like kind of fewer people seeing you. Network TV is not pulling numbers these days. We get a lot of views on YouTube. We don't get the most views on YouTube for anybody. We kind of get a lot of views on YouTube. So it'd be a thing that I would do for fun and passion. Again, I'm a huge fan of the show.
I love the show. Such
paradigmatic
show
for the entire food ecosystem. Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should be a contestant on Chopped. I think you should be a host on Chopped.
Oh my God, though. Imagine me sitting
or
next
a judge,
to Manit,
I'm sorry,
me
a
sitting next to Manit Chauhan
and
Scott Conant. Man, come on. I'd love that.
I think you'd be a great judge. I also think you'd be a good contestant. But again, the juice is not worth the squeeze for being a contestant for you.
Yeah. And even like winning $10,000 would be great. And it's like, oh, after taxes, you know, $200.
Maple syrup on Rice Krispies. Oh, my God. So good. I think that sounds really good.
I generally prefer the flavor of honey over maple in most cases, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
That's so weird.
Is it weird? I mean, they're kind of just...
You're so weird.
It's not that weird. It's like a binary. I think honey's consumed way more than maple. Maple, in fact, is such an ultra-specific flavor. Could you imagine, like, explaining to somebody in a foreign country, going to, like, Thailand, be like, yeah, we got this one tree, and it bleeds, and we stab it, and then we drink its juice. That's a very specific.
Yeah, they probably have a tree that does that as well.
Yeah, probably. But, like, honey's like a universal thousands of years old thing. Honey's in the Bible, man.
Is it?
Actually, okay,
manna. You're thinking of manna.
No. Something of the lion, milk and honey.
Oh, the land of?
The land of milk and honey. But I believe milk actually refers to fig, the fig sap.
That's what milk meant?
Yeah, that's what one person told me. That referred to the milk of a fig, and then honey referred to Ceylan or date syrup.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's true at all. Somebody told me that, and I have not thought to fact check it.
Hmm.
But, so I don't know. Anyways, I kind of just prefer honey, but I'm glad that you found something. I would do honey and flaky salt on a Rice Krispie.
Next opinion.
Hello, Mythical Josh and Nicole.
Hi.
I discovered a money-saving food hack. If you
love
have
saving money.
Some freezer burnt meat
okay.
that you would otherwise throw away, no matter what the cut is or what type of meat it is, adjust your broth accordingly and just make a stew.
Yeah,
just cook
correct,
the right. meat to death, and any textural changes from the freezer burntness
mm-hmm.
won't show up. Works great, and you don't have to throw away meat you spent money on.
Correct. Smart.
Very good.
Smart, smart, smart.
The hack. The hack to end all hacks.
That's a hack for like vegetables that have gone super limp and rotten. The biggest money-saving hack in any kitchen is just make a stew.
So true.
Out of anything. You can save any single thing. Dead herbs. Just
water, bleh. Seasoning, and anything that's about to die. Just, yeah.
Yeah, the world was built on soups and stews
because
it can hide a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're so right.
Old meat, I mean, don't play with old meat, you know what I mean?
Also, old and freezer burn are two different things.
Also, we've talked about this, right? Where I was convinced that steaming vegetables wasn't actually that much better for you than boiling. And then I looked up the data.
Oh, you
and
did?
They really retain so much more moisture.
When you steam
or, sorry,
them?
so many more nutrients, steaming versus boiling.
Really?
Steaming versus damn near any other technique.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was kind of shocked. There was a study that came out of China it was really the mid-2000s. But that's absolutely true. But the difference is if you boil the vegetables and then
consume
the liquid, so which is to say you make a soup, you're getting all the nutrients. So you're really preserving a lot of nutrients too.
But what if you eat it raw? That's the best way, right?
Okay, raw is probably the best way. Steaming, I don't think, was that much farther away from raw, dude. There's something about it.
There was something back in the day when people were doing like raw vegan and there's like it couldn't get to a certain temperature. What was that, 38 degrees or something?
Yeah, the raw vegan thing. And there is, I believe, some nutritional breakdown at high temperatures, but it typically has to be at that high temperature for a very long time, which mm-hmm. I guess soups could be. But like that nutrient loss wasn't nearly as drastic as like pouring off the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So interesting.
I think, and then also, humans were only able to evolve because we learned how to cook food, right?
I agree with that.
If we spent all of our days just chewing through raw meat and sinew or chewing grassy leaves, think about spinach, right?
Yeah.
Think about how much more spinach you can consume when it's cooked versus raw.
So much more.
And how much less time it takes.
So much more.
Right? And so that's, you know, raw vegans, if you're happy and feel good, keep doing what you're doing. But yeah, man, soups.
Cooking
retains
made
all the nutrients.
Us more human.
Delicious, yeah. Literally
yeah.
smaller stomachs, bigger brains.
Isn't that so great?
It's great, man.
We are also a part of that like progression.
Yeah.
Mythical Kitchen.
We are.
We're trying to make the stomach smaller and the brains bigger.
You know what's funny though? I think that cooking may have also led to the introduction of cancer into the human gene pool.
Well,
you know the whole thing about charred meat.
Yeah, carcinogens.
Yeah, carcinogens, man. It's eating fire.
But it tastes so good.
Ooh, I do love me some barbecue.
Hi, Josh and Nicole.
Hi.
My name's Nora. I love your podcast.
I love that name, Nora.
My controversial food opinion
name my son,
is
Nora.
That the only way to eat a marshmallow is burnt. The outside has to be perfectly crispy and charcoaly, and the inside has to be ooey gooey. And that's the perfect and only suitable way to eat a marshmallow. That's it. Love your podcast. Bye.
Speaking of carcinogens.
Oh, definitely.
That
yeah.
is just burnt sugar.
I know, and
like,
I love it.
It's so, I love it.
How do you roast a marshmallow? Have we never talked about how to roast a marshmallow?
I love roasting marshmallows.
What's
so
your technique?
Much. Well, I burn the ever-living crap out of it.
When you say burn, do you?
Black.
You light it on fire.
Black.
You light it on fire and blow it out.
But my husband, you know, being the perfectionist he is, he literally just like, he just twirls it like a rotisserie and makes sure that it's golden brown, like golden brown, like the perfect tan person on a beach. And then he, and
like
then
a 65-year-old Italian American on the
and
Jersey
then he
Shore.
He pulls it out and then he dips it in the fire, pulls out, eats it.
While it's on fire.
Yeah. No,
puts
no,
it
no.
In his mouth,
he blows it
like
out.
A party
he,
trick.
No, he blows it out.
Takes Bacardi 151 and goes,
but he does all that work and then he just does it like, really, really hot, and then eats it.
Well, when you light a marshmallow on fire, and I'm curious because they said ooey gooey all throughout. When you light a marshmallow on fire, it's not cooking the center, right? You're getting like a medium, like a medium rare Chateaubriand.
I like when my center, I like when there still is a little bit of shape to my malo on the stick.
But you eat the whole thing. You don't, because I remove the skin and then I eat the skin and then I torch it again.
But then I was a little bit more mature. I like matured.
I don't believe in pleasure delaying. I want it all now. I will say the best way to eat a marshmallow, though, is just raw.
No.
Because you lose the texture. The point of a marshmallow is the fun texture. Like a cat, I'm attracted to novel textures.
You keep saying that.
It's my favorite thing to say.
It's your favorite. It's your favorite combination of words to say recently.
Yeah, it's good.
Cat. Did you know that cats love novel textures?
It's like a stock epithet, like Aegis bearing Zeus. Sometimes I think nobody has any idea what I'm talking about.
I know what
about.
That means. Aegis bearing Zeus is what they say, like, in, like, I know what it means. I know what
it's
it means.
A set of adjectives.
Not everybody knows what it means.
Novel texture enjoying cats.
The brown Aegis fox jumped
Zeus.
Over the brown orange dog.
What is that? That has nothing
dog.
To do with anything. That's
That's also
the quick
text.
Brown what?
What are you talking about?
A stock epithet is like a set descriptor of a character, as in, like, novel texture enjoying Josh. Or wet food enjoying Josh. Aegis bearing Zeus.
Oh, I thought it
Zeus
was...
Zeus is depicted with a shield. I'm depicted enjoying novel textures and wet foods.
Oh, I thought you were just saying, like, it's just stock. Like, somebody just wrote it and put it in.
No.
Oh.
But the sentence that you just described is the sentence
stock.
That uses all of the letters of the alphabet. Yeah. All right, next opinion.
Hi, this is Lindsay from Northern Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
My food opinion, I guess you could kind of call it a food crime as well. Is I put the end of the bag of tortilla chips where it's all crumbly and everything like that, dump it in a bowl, add like the cheap star queso, and then heat it in the microwave for at least a minute so the queso kind of soaks up into those tortilla chip crumbs. And it almost is like a poor man's chili chiles, I guess you could call it. Kind of gets that
Sounds
same
good.
Vibe. It's delicious. And use up the last of the tortilla chips. Love the podcast. Thanks, guys. Bye.
This Thank isn't you. A food crime. What's the opposite of a crime?
Like a deed.
This is a food deed. This is a food deed. I would totally eat this.
Well, what it won, I just want to say I love regional accents, and I think you have a beautiful accent.
I love the way you said
bag. in Wisconsin. But was it Wisconsin is a drinking state that has a cheese problem or something?
Yeah.
What do you do with the chips at the end of the bag, the crumbs?
I lick my two fingers and I go in there and then I finish it.
And then what else do you never add? I generally don't. I'm not the biggest like queso fan. It's kind of one of those foods that people would assume that I really love. And I don't know. I'd probably rather just have salsa.
I like salsa more than queso too. Because sometimes too much cheese, it makes me kind of want to vomit. I love cheese though.
You do have digestion issues.
It's gotten so much better though.
I guess I'm not the biggest cheese guy.
I haven't been as farty because I stopped eating so much cheese.
That's huge. No, I've noticed actually. It's actually been really a boon to morale for everybody. I love taking the end of the chips and I pour them into the bowl of salsa and then I eat that almost as a gazpacho with a crunchy garnish. So I see you and go Badgers.
Go Green Bay Packers.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Like
I love
Francis
the Packers.
Francis McDormand from Fargo right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those Packers.
You think Jordan Love's got what it takes to actually go deep in the playoffs?
You know, he's, you know, being a rookie, I think that.
Yeah, three years ago being a rookie, yeah. He did.
I think he shows a lot of promise.
He sure does.
I mean, it's a shame that he had that injury. Recently.
Yeah, you know, everyone's a little banged up all the time in football.
And
you know?
I have a lot of high hopes for his position as a quarterback.
Yeah, as a quarterback,
Especially with Aaron Rodgers leaving and going to the Jets.
Go, Nicole, go!
I think that he will show a lot of promise and hopefully hold up the legacy of the Packers to eventually beat out the rest of the people on the
in the division,
which
is
in the NFC
North, NFC North, yeah, there she goes,
NFC North, East.
No. You just had to saw the North. And then I think when you get Christian Watson back, somebody that can really stretch the field. You got Romeo Doubs. He's proved a really, really fantastic possession receiver. Dontavion Wicks, I think, really came through in the slot last year. Aaron Jones, I mean, just what a talent.
I mean, with Cooper Kupp doing his thing, it's been quite a showing.
And the Packers' best lineman, Persian.
Oh, my God.
David Bakhtiari?
He's
been hurt.
I knew it. I knew
that. He's been hurt for like 3 years. It's actually really sad. I hope he can get healthy at some point and really resume his career.
Thank you so much for stopping by the Mythical Kitchen. We got new episodes of this podcast on Sundays.
The video comes out on Sundays. The audio, do you not know when our podcast comes out?
The audio comes out on Wednesdays?
Yeah, definitely, man. It's been that way for 4 years.
No, it hasn't.
I guess I always read this part, and you never read this part.
Yeah, no.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Like Casseroles, give us a ring and leave a quick message at 833-DOGPOD1.
Is that what I sound like?
I'm Nicole. I sound like a Muppet.
For more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on our other videos. We launch new episodes every week. Watch Last Meals. It's the best show on the internet. I also think Myth Munchers is also probably like the 14th best on the internet.
It's top 17 for sure.
And then that Sabotage one?
That's like... Sorry.
It's good.
I still like Fancy Fast Food. I still think
Fancy Fast Food, great show. We'll see you next time.